Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies, coming to you once again from the Who, What, Where, When, and Whyville for another Homes Alone edition. It's Sunday, January 24th, 2021, and my guests today are Claire Kramer, Sam Morril, and Caroline Williams. Hello, everybody.
Yay!
Hey.
Let's meet everybody individually, starting with our first-time guest today, a true horror movie queen from Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 to Hatchet 3 to her new film that you can see now. You could stop listening to this immediately and watch her new film, 10 Minutes to Midnight. That's not a recommended time to watch the movie. That's just the title of the film, 10 to Midnight. It is.
Hi.
First time guest on the show, Caroline Williams. Hello, Caroline.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I have absolutely no idea what to expect.
I know. That's what happens sometimes. You get these lovely marriages with publicists that know me and know the show. They'll say, "Hey, how about Caroline Williams? I bet you she'd be a fun guest." And I go, "I bet you you're right. Let's see what happens." And your movie is generating a lot of buzz on the internet. There's a lot of chatter. And what? Where's it at with Rotten Tomatoes? I thought it's like I saw you posting about how it's way up there on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, we used to be 100% fresh, and now we're just 99.99% fresh.
Oh, damn! Who was that one idiot?
You know, some schmucky guy.
It just
you can tell he wanted to be the guy with the Rotten Tomato.
Yeah.
You know?
And why, So what is the significance of the title 10 Minutes to Midnight? Why is it named after that that time of the evening?
Because Amy Marlowe loves starting her radio show 10 minutes before midnight so she can be with her listeners during that moment of transition when we hit midnight. So kind of one of the transition is one of the themes of the movie.
Yeah, that's why I start like my shows tend to start at 4:15 because I want to be there with everybody at 4:20 when that transition happens.
A magic sensibility.
Well, thank you so much for being here. And we will, of course, plug the movie again at the end of the show for everybody who has a short memory.
Also, well, thank you for having me.
Also joining us today is Clara Kramer is back finally after I don't know how long it's been, Claire.
It's been a while, but I'm so happy to be back, Doug. Thank you for having me. And it's funny, I was mentioning to you before we started recording that literally the same day you texted me, someone, one of my friends was like, when are you going to go back on Doug Loves Movies? And so it was, I think it was meant to be.
Yeah. It really came together. I don't know if that's a mutual friend of ours or just if it was just, you know, kismet, as they say. But I was thinking of you mainly because lately we've been doing that thing again where if somebody wins at the end of these silly games that we play, they're invited to return again as champion on the very next episode. And I recall when I used to do that at the live shows in Los Angeles, how many wins did you get in a row? You were on
10, I think, 10.
10 times.
And it got to the point where I couldn't come back because I was going to give birth. Because it was basically almost 2.5, my last trimester, I did Doug Loves Movies. That's what I did for fun. So I wasn't partaking in the 420 moment at that time, but now I'm not pregnant. So that's a good thing.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll change up your game a little bit. Maybe.
Exactly. Like, let's see what happens.
We were doing trivia for two before, but, the reason that I, you know, thought of you and asked you to be here, and I'm grateful that you're available, is because Sam Morril here is on a winning streak. And needs to be stopped.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm.
And there are no pregnancies in my future. So look at it.
So yeah, you're okay. Well, I'm here to give it a valiant effort, you know. How many, Sam, what show is this for you?
I think it's my third, but I'd done this show a couple of times before and I don't think I lost those either. I think this is my fifth time.
Okay. Have you had Sam on with Sam Levine on with this Sam?
No, the Sams have not. Not
they haven't merged yet. That'll be a moment in the future.
Yeah. No, I you know, I wanted to bring in somebody that I wouldn't mind you know, potentially being around for a while. And of course, you know, it's just an offer. You're not obligated to come back again. Sam has been very nice to come back 3 weeks in a row. And today he's even not able to watch the football game for a little while just to be with us.
You got to make sacrifices for greatness, Doug, and I'm willing to do it.
And also the score is there's like an 18-point difference at this point or something.
11. 11. It's
11. Okay. Yeah. So it's still an exciting game, I guess.
You know.
Exactly. Yeah. Could end up being exciting.
Sure.
So that's great. Let us know if anything does happen. From the corrections department, Bad Boys 3 is called Bad Boys 4 Life. There is no Bad Boys 4 as of yet.
So was I right? Does that mean that you were wrong and I was right on that point?
I think so. I mean, you ended up winning anyway, so I guess it didn't affect the outcome, but I was just confused about how many Bad Boys there were. But also, Bad Boys 4 Life is a perfect title for the fourth part. You know,
they blew it there.
Yeah. Like what's the next part going to be called? Bad Boys 4, Bad Boys 3 Life. also I forgot to mention last week that, Hannah Leader is the daughter of director Mimi Leader, who is, Hollywood royalty, if you will. So apologies to all the leaders. And the box office report, it's so depressing because theaters are, you know, mostly not open or, you know, there is some action at the drive-ins. But as a result, the number one movie this weekend was The Marksman for weekend number two. That's the latest Liam Neeson film. And it made It made $2 million. The number one movie in the country made nearly $2 million. So I'm happy to
people
be here
still like people.
What's that?
People still like old white guys fucking shit up. That's a genre that's working for some reason. I was watching the, I'm not a big UFC guy, but I was watching the fight last night. And they did like 8 promos for the new Bob Odenkirk movie where he's the, and I'm like, Bob, how many white dudes get a shot at this that were at Bob Odenkirk?
Well, it's kind of going back to like, you know, in the 70s, every, you know, very respected, serious actor like Gene Hackman and Dustin Hoffman, you know, they all had their movie where they play, you know, Michael Douglas, where they play the guy that just snaps, you know,
yeah.
Just,
oh, yeah.
Goes berserk on everybody. Everybody has their, that like their sort of death wish movie where they get revenge on a bunch of people, which is, yeah. You know.
The new movie, Stanley Tucci has been pushed too far. That's where we're going to get it.
A question I like to ask everybody before we get into the games portion of the show, we'll start with you, Claire, is, what have you seen lately that you would recommend, you know, movie-wise? It's great if it's something that's streaming that anybody can potentially check out, but that doesn't, you know, there's no rules here. Just recommend a movie.
Okay, well, I recommend this movie, but I also recommend watching it a few times.
Oh, okay. Wow. Which, so giving us a real,
because I'm a big Christopher Nolan fan. So I was super excited for Tenet to come out and it kept getting pushed and pushed. And, you know, eventually it did come out in the theaters. I did not go to the theaters to see it. I was working in Texas and I could have, and I just kind of was like, that's kind of with the whole pandemic thing. I just didn't feel comfortable. So I have watched it several times now, and I went from thinking it was super confusing to thinking it is crystal clear. And if you watch that movie, Christopher Nolan has a nod to almost every one of his other movies. You see like shots that you see in Inception, like the kicking the chair over, except it's used in a different way in this movie. You see like you just recognize so much cinematography from all his other films. And the more I watched it, I think I've seen it like 5 times now, the more I got out of it each time. So I definitely recommend Tenet.
I mean, it sounds like you're just recommending, like, you know, that we join a cult while we're just watch this
Listen,
thing over and
Doug,
over again.
You're not the only one who loves movies.
Listen, I think almost any movie could be, you know, strangely appreciated if someone's forced to watch it repeatedly.
Well, I mean, I think that the beauty of this one, though, is like the first viewing, it's just classic. It's the best Nolan movie, I believe, because it's just the layers are there, you know. It's like the first time you see it, you pick up on everything and you're kind of, you know, understanding the worlds and what's happening and inversion. And then the second time you see it, there's a whole new layer of eye-openingness that happens because you're already aware of the premise and how it's going to play out. So you don't have to focus so much on the plot. You can focus on the story a little bit more. And then the third time you can focus on the characters, which are phenomenal. So that's my deep dive into Tenet.
Yeah, all right. That's the recommendation. Watch it. You have to plan to see it more than once.
I recommend Scientology.
Watch it.
That's what I.
I haven't seen it yet because, you know, I've felt Christopher Nolan's pain in the sense that, like,
yes,
if he wants people to only see it on the big screen, then that's how I would prefer to see it myself. Mm. So I haven't broken down and watched it on television.
I agree with you with that. And I really wanted to do that, but the theaters in LA, unless it is a drive-in, which I don't really think it's a drive-in type movie, are not open. And then, like I said, when I was working in Texas, I just felt like I'm going to kind of put everybody at risk by going to the movies. So I settled on big screen TV, you know, I couldn't wait any longer. Basically I'm impatient.
How do you feel about if Christopher Nolan only made movies from now on where the title was a palindrome?
I feel good about that. I feel really good about it. I like when directors have their niche things. Like, that's what I love about Tarantino. He made a stand. He's making this many movies. He's shooting them on film. That's it. It's done. We're not diverting from, you know, I like when people have that sort of, you know, the balls to be like, I'm only doing this. So if he's like, every movie's a palindrome, I'm in.
Well, then you're in. This is working out great for you, because they just announced Christopher Nolan. He's already got in pre-production, Madam, I'm Adam.
Ah. Love it.
Tom Hardy plays both parts.
Surprisingly enough, right?
All right. Yeah. Okay. So Tenet. All right. That's good. It's always nice to hear that I, you know, should continue to, like, you know, be excited to see that movie someday. What's your latest recommendation, Sam?
Yeah, that sounds good. I feel the same way as you, Doug. I kind of wanted to wait to see it in the theaters, but maybe I'll just watch it. I recommend The Nice Guys. It's on Hulu. I don't have Hulu. I rented it, but it's hilarious. It's Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe. Shane Black wrote it. Super fun movie. Just like that buddy kind of Midnight Run formula, where two guys like kind of can't stand each other, but it's so, so funny.
Yeah. And it's got some, you know, interesting turns, you know, throughout, and like it kind of reminds me of the kind of, you know, a detective TV show from the 70s.
Yes.
That, like, commercial breaks, you know, but yeah, it's funnier and more interesting than I think people gave it credit for initially, but it, you know, everybody, whenever it comes up, is very, very happy about it. Like, everybody who's seen it seems to really like it.
Yeah. It's got like a kind of like a hint of noir, but then it's also, you're right, it's got almost like a little Rockford Files or like one of those like 70s shows. it's just a fun time. And they're both hilarious in it. They're both really good.
How would you rate Russell Crowe in it? Like, cause you know, he, movie to movie,
I love him.
Good Russell.
Yeah, he plays like a tough guy, but he's like, it opens like a noir where he's like, I just had another divorce. Like, already you just like, it's just a fun character out of the gate. He's like a sad tough guy who collects money for people and hurts them. But yeah, he's great. And he's like the tough guy, but then Gosling is like slapstick in it. It's kind of great.
I can't wait. I'm going to watch it.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, Gosling, I noticed with that movie and La La Land, and, you know, I'm not sure if there's any others, but I wouldn't be surprised if there were. He likes to do the, his entire, like, the too surprised take, like, where his entire body does, like, a spasm from being, like, surprised, like, if somebody taps him on the shoulder, he isn't expecting it. I just have a feeling that he, like, does that in real life, that he just gets a kick out of overreacting to things with the entire body.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know the name of the young girl who plays his daughter in it, but she's so funny and great. It's a good cast.
Yeah, she's turned up in stuff since. Like she's legit. Like, she'll be real. She's a real actress. Caroline, what have you got besides, of course, 10 Minutes to Midnight, available now on demand?
You know, when you brought up Russell Crowe, the first place my mind went was possibly his first movie, but one of his first movies in Australia called Proof. He co-starred with Hugo Weaving, and it was directed by Jocelyn Morehouse, and it's an extraordinary movie, and I recommend it to anybody, because he was young and gorgeous. You could see the appeal, you know, just like Mel Gibson in Gallipoli, you know. It's like, wow, I know why this guy's a movie star. And, but it's a cool story. Hugo Weaving plays a blind guy, and he goes around throughout his life with a Polaroid camera taking pictures of things. And then he will find someone to tell him what is in the photograph. And then later he'll confirm it with his housekeeper, who he doesn't trust, to see if she says the same thing. And she's constantly gaslighting him. So if she doesn't tell him the same thing, So it's a big mind fuck. And then Russell Crowe walks into the story. And then it turns into a totally different thing. But Jocelyn Moorhouse, amazing director. It's an amazing movie. If you ever have, if you can find it, I don't know where you find it, but the movie I watched the other night that I love, and it's a movie I did in Dallas in 1985. I played Girl in Truck. But the movie itself, it's enjoying this amazing resurgence. The Legend of Billie Jean. Oh, it's got a real social justice theme. She's beautiful. She's extraordinary. She cuts her hair short like Joan of Arc. It's got a Pat Benatar score and some Billy Idol. It's just this really great 80s. It's so classically 80s, you know?
And it's such a trip. It's such a trip that Helen Slater and Christian Slater star in it together, and they aren't related.
Not related, but Christian Slater's mother, Mary Jo Slater, the casting director. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I won't say any more about that, but you know what I'm saying. Anyway, that was his first film. And he was hijinking. He was hijinking on that set. And Keith Gordon was gorgeous. Those giant chocolate brown eyes like a beagle. And it's a great freaking movie. And my boys got turned on to it by somebody else. My two sons, they watched it. They loved it. It's still pretty contemporary, except for the phone situation. Right. But Peter Coyote, awesome. Anyway.
Yeah, no, the message is the same from that movie. It still resonates, you know, it still makes sense.
Fair's fair. Yeah. Fair's fair, man.
And also I think that song has really held up, the Pat Benatar song.
The Invincible song, yeah. She's got like two or three hits on that soundtrack. It's pretty impressive.
Now I want to mention though that when you're looking for the movie Proof, that do not confuse it with the movie where
Proof of Life, were you gonna say?
No, that's another one. Proof of Life is also...
That's another Russell Crowe one. That's a turd, that movie.
Well, I was going to say, don't mix it up with the Proof starring Gwyneth Paltrow as a math genius.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah, you can't possibly confuse them.
All right. Those are great recommendations, though. Tenet and Nice Guys and Proof. Go find those movies and check them out. And we're going to play some games after these messages. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We're back. I had told you it'd be quick. Our first game that we're going to play today is called ABCD's Nuts. It's a spelling game. I don't know if... Claire, if you've ever played this game before, but basically the idea is I'm going to take a word and we're going to go through letter by letter in that word. Well, I'm just going to ask each of you, you know, taking turns. We'll start off in alphabetical order. So we'll go Claire and then Sam and then Caroline. And whatever letter I give you, just name a movie that begins with that letter. And you get to stay in if you name any movie that begins that letter. But if you match the movie that I've written down already, if you figure out the theme that's going on, and you match me, then you win the whole game automatically right there.
Oh, God. This is, like, complicated.
So matching you by what clues do you give?
Is a letter, and then after you hear a few of the answers, you might get an idea what the theme is.
Okay.
going to be. Well, what we're going to spell in honor of 10 Minutes to Midnight and Caroline being here, we're going to spell the word midnight. So the first letter is M, and it goes to Claire. So Claire, all you got to do is name any movie that begins with the letter M.
Okay. Hold on. Memento. I'm like, it's right there. Memento.
Isn't it weird how much harder it is than you think? Like, you think, oh, any movie begins with M, sure.
And then, it's also a funny movie that takes you a second. You're like, oh, yeah, that's all about forgetting shit, that movie.
Right, and Nolan. So I'm like, it all ties in.
Oh, I've already thought of a Christopher Nolan that begins with M.
So it's my turn?
No, it's Claire, right?
So what do I do? Keep movie? Keep
no, saying? Did you say a movie begins with M?
Memento.
Oh, you did. Okay, Memento. All right.
It's got two M's.
That's not what I wrote down, though.
Okay.
What I wrote down was Midnight Run.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I gotcha.
All right. I is the next letter, and that goes to you, Sam. So name any movie that begins with I, but keep in mind the first answer was Midnight Run.
Damn. Into the Wild?
No, I wrote, but that's close. I wrote In Time.
Gotcha.
In Time. So now, Caroline, the next letter is D. Just name any movie that begins with D.
Oh, jeez. Oh, God. This is hard. There's a million movies that begin with D.
Take your time.
But I don't want to take too much time. Oh, gosh. Die, Die, My Darling? I'm just hoping you're into camp.
Begin with the letter D. Very good. I wrote down Desperate Hours.
Which is a great movie, too.
Back to Claire, and then the...
ready? It's N, right?
Yeah.
9 to 5.
Right there in Doug Benson's scrawl, it says 9 to 5. That is correct.
Damn. I knew it.
You did it. Then I went on to go with Ice Age, Dawn of the Dinosaurs, Gone in 60 Seconds, High Noon, and 310 to Yuma.
Yep. Time.
It was all time.
Time.
Time well references.
What was the second one again they picked?
The second was a movie called In Time.
Right, gotcha.
Yeah. Mm. It was, who was in that? It was Rachel McAdams, I think, or was it Amanda Seyfried? I get those.
Those two are.
They're both in time travel movies, I think.
Oh, yeah. I think it's Rachel McAdams.
It's Rachel.
I saw some of it. A girl I dated made me watch it, and I could tell I was not feeling it and showed me mercy.
Yeah, that guy Donald Gleason is in it, I think, and he's likable, but he gets a little annoying in that movie because he uses his, you know, time traveling to gives him a sense of power and he becomes a dick.
Yeah.
That sounds familiar.
I think, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, like, it's true. They they start off using it for evil and then they figure out that, to go the other way. And then there's a happy ending, like Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, congratulations. See, this is why I brought, that's why I gave the call to Claire Kramer, because she comes in and takes care of business when there's a bully like Sam around.
But I like Sam, so Sam, I automatically like you a lot. So
thank you.
That was excellent, excellent work, Claire. What have you been up to as far as you said you were shooting something in Texas? Because that's something you could tell us about.
Yeah, I was working. I have this whole new side of my career, Doug, where I interview a lot of people. I have been doing this at not only, for example, panels in Hall H or Ballroom, you know, G at San Diego Comic-Con or Ballroom B, whatever it is. But I've been going around the country with different conventions and interviewing casts. And I actually took this job where, since there's been a pandemic, obviously there's no Comic-Cons, but Six Flags in Texas wanted to do a month-long horror-themed event where they brought in horror guests. And we worked, I basically worked at Six Flags for a month on stage in this amphitheater interviewing these amazing horror film stars. So it was really fun and different. And it was so nice to be back in that environment, you know, because I think all of us kind of miss that.
Well, annoying question. Did you get to go on any of the rides?
I did. And I had security. So I got to go in the back entrance and go on the rides. Amazing. Their rides are like legit, you know. I feel like Six Flags, you know, and they're partners with DC Comics, obviously. So it's like the Superman and the Wonder Woman, and you know, their rides are no joke. Like Disney rides are great, fun, and sort of like interesting. But these were like the old school roller coasters, whip you around, like you get off and you're like, I have a massive headache, but that was so fun.
Yeah, they got some insane ones, and they just keep getting, you know, bigger and longer and faster.
Totally. Like, the Wonder Woman was definitely the craziest.
Yeah, and again, they get weird, too, because, like, I know, like, at Magic Mountain in here in north of L.A., they have, like, this one area that they keep, you know, they keep trying to put a ride there, but there's just not enough space for an actual roller coaster, so instead it's just one of those tiny rides, but that's also fast and really messes
you up.
And it's like a different, you know, every year you go there, they got a different ride in that spot because they just haven't really cracked it yet.
Yeah. No, I have season passes to the Six Flags here. I love it.
I remember when it was the Sarajevo bobsleds. Were you like really in like this bobsled that slid around, and it felt so incredibly unsafe?
Mm.
All right. So, Clara, since you won that game, you're going to go first in our next and deciding game of the day. And we're going to play that right after this break. We'll be right back. No flipping.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We're back, and we're about to play a game that's going to determine our quote-unquote winner today. How are you feeling so far, Caroline Williams, first-time guest? Has it been is it too much pressure?
Well, I mean, everybody's experienced, but the great thing is I can pay. I'm listening to what they're doing, and that's how you learn how to play games. So, you know.
Yeah, you're learning from the best right now.
Yeah.
Returning champion Sam Morrill and lifetime champion Claire Kramer.
I'll take it.
Hey, Claire, also, let me ask you this real quick. Does it feel like Buffy the Vampire Slayer is getting a new wind? Like, there's new excitement about it lately?
It's really interesting because I think one of the questions I've gotten the most over, you know, the last 2 decades is like, when is there going to be another Buffy? What are they doing? Is there going to be another Buffy? What's happening? And the answer is always, you know, I don't know. And I would probably be the last to know, but the fandom seems to have had a resurgence. It was officially Buffy Summer's birthday, 40th birthday the other week. And like, honestly, I feel like we have 10 times as many fans as we did back when the show was actually on the air. So I think people have passed it on to like the next generation, and the next generation is now like fully activating as fandom. So it's fun.
Yeah.
I thought there was going to be a reboot.
There's
the
always
show.
Those rumors, and they've been announced a couple times over the years. It's been announced most recently, I think like 4 or 5 years ago, but it's not, you know, happening.
Right. Yeah, they keep acting like it's gonna, but they're not there yet. But you know, that's sort of great for everybody involved, I think, just because when they do get around to it, I think it will be. I think people will be super into it just because of the new generations that are into the old show.
Yeah, I think as long as they keep, you know, they need to keep Sarah involved, whether she's, you know, becomes like into the watcher position, you know, as long as she's involved with the show to some capacity, then I think it could be really successful, and it will stay true to its originality with her in there.
Have you, Claire, watched Ted Lasso?
Oh yeah, of course. I love it so much.
I was so excited when Giles showed up on Ted Lasso.
I know, I was too. And then he was like this, you know, kind of evil guy. That show is beyond funny and so quotable. I love, like, you know, have a memory of a goldfish. It's like 10-second memory. And I say that to my kids all the time. I'm like, you could be fighting, but remember what Ted Lasso says, have the memory of a goldfish.
I hear that show's amazing, but it's on Apple, right? I feel like I do I have to, how many streamers do I have to get?
There's you
like
have to get them all.
Oh my God.
Well,
so many.
Apple is in a weird position right now because they just really don't have that much product on there.
No.
There's a lot of people doing the free trial, watching everything and then bouncing, you know, because they got like, you know, they got 5 or 6 shows that are all really good. Like they put good stuff on there, but there's not enough of it to justify staying with them. They hardly ever add anything, you know, but
right. No, just when you said that, I was like, oh, I could do a free trial and leave. So that's a
that's what people are doing. They do the free trial, watch Mythic Quest and
I saw a couple of those. It was funny.
Morning Show and Ted Lasso. I mean, Ted Lasso is just,
it's just the best.
Sporting, because it's like, I don't care about, you know, I didn't want to watch a show about a soccer coach, you know, and it's so beyond that. It's so good.
Yeah, that's how it came to my attention, because my sons both play club soccer. So I was like, oh, well, this is, and then I'm like, oh, this has nothing to do with soccer, but it's amazing. We're watching it.
Yeah, and it has enough to do with soccer that people
that
like
they enjoy it. Yeah,
excited to see that, but it's not, you know, it's kind of like the chess in Queen's Gambit. It's
yeah,
you don't have to know anything about soccer to get what's happening and why it matters. You know,
that's what good shows do. Even with, like, I don't care about soccer either, but I've seen a few soccer documentaries that blew my mind. So I mean, if it's good, it's good, right? I mean, it's beyond that.
One of the best soccer movies, Goal. Have you guys Doug? You know that movie?
Oh, it's not called Goal.
It is a fantastic, if you want like intro to soccer movies, watch that.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right.
It's amazing.
All right. So we're going to play one more game today, and Claire gets to go first, and we'll keep the same order essentially. And the game is called Old MacDonald. And what happens is, I'll name a movie. I'll go to you, you know, one at a time with these. I'll name a movie. You tell me if it features the acting of Macaulay Culkin, Donald Sutherland, or neither. Donald Sutherland, or neither. And we start with Claire. If she misses, then Sam gets a shot. And if Sam misses, then Caroline gets a gimme.
Ooh. It's the
third remaining answer. And then we just rotate from there, so everybody should get a nice chance to get some points. Claire?
I'm nervous.
I'm nervous. We're close to my turn. I'm nervous.
Macaulay Culkin, Donald Sutherland, or neither in a movie called Party Monster?
Macaulay Culkin.
That is correct. Macaulay Culkin is correct. Sam?
And he's good in it. Actually,
I knew that one. I don't know a lot of Macaulay Culkin, but I knew that one for sure.
Well, we'll see where you're at on these next ones. How about Donald Sutherland? Are you familiar with him?
A little bit.
He's been in a lot of movies.
I know he is. I mean, he's a great actor. I don't feel like I know his body of work as well, you know, as probably not, honestly.
I couldn't tell you what brand it is, but he's the voice of some orange juice.
He did the voice in a really great Simpsons episode. I think it was Lisa the Iconoclast.
Hmm. Sam?
Mm-hmm.
Culkin? Donald? Neither. A movie called See You in the Morning.
Jeez. I have no idea. I'm going to guess it and go Sutherland.
That is incorrect.
Damn it!
Caroline?
Oh, shit.
Between Macaulay Culkin or neither, the movie is called See You in the Morning.
Well, I'm going to say neither.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect.
It's a Macaulay Culkin movie.
Claire?
It's Macaulay Culkin.
Are you sure?
Yes. I like him.
I can lock in that answer. All right, Claire gets another point. Back to you, Sam.
Oh, boy.
The film it's called Jacob's Ladder.
Right. I'm going Sutherland.
That is incorrect.
Oh, my God.
Caroline, you got another shot at it here.
Same neither.
Last time, Macaulay Culkin or neither. You're saying neither?
I'm saying neither.
That is incorrect.
Oh, you can't be serious. I thought I knew that movie.
Clara?
I was going through the cast in my head. Oh, my God.
Do you forget which one's left over?
Macaulay Culkin. My go-to. My guy. My pal.
Macaulay Culkin. According to IMDb, he is in Jacob's Ladder uncredited.
Ooh, that was a good one.
Wow.
I'm getting destroyed by my lack of Donald Sutherland knowledge here.
And I know Donald Sutherland.
He's just.
I'm 63 years old. I know Donald freaking Sutherland.
You know, he's in all of the Hunger Games movies. He's the evil overlord or whatever his position is. I'm not sure what they call him.
He was in The Undoing. Fantastic.
Oh, right. I haven't seen The Undoing. I heard mixed things, but you're pro. Are you Undoing, mm-hmm. Stan? Caroline?
I'm, oh gosh, I don't want to mess anything up, but I'm kind of, I'm beginning stages of Undoing.
Yeah.
Beginning stages of Undoing.
Trying to find the ending, they had troubles with the end. Probably.
A little undone at the end.
what were you expecting? It's right there in the
right?
I expected something dramatic. I really did. And it was just completely it's like, how could you have such a predictable ending? This is a dull, unimaginative ending. Maybe they had to remain true to a novel or something. I have no idea.
But the performances along the way make it, you know, you'd recommend.
Totally. They tell a suspenseful story. You know, it keeps you on the edge of your seat. It keeps you tuning in on Sunday night, being there in real time. I was there, man. And then, yeah.
All right, Claire's running away with this thing. She's got 3 points.
And good.
Sam gets the first crack at this next one.
I'm like nervous now. Hit me.
The Page Master.
That's Macaulay Culkin.
That is correct.
Sam, I mean, I had some of a childhood, I guess. Board. Jesus.
Sam got one. That's
finally.
Page Master is kind of like a kid's movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like he was in, kind of transitioning. Like he was supposed to be like in his early teens, I guess. And he was.
Those
like,
were those awkward years. Yeah.
Which is a shame because, like, you know, that was the thing about him is he was so, you know, kind of like an adult in a kid's body was sort of like the joke with him. So then once he, you know, actually started growing up and what, you know, it wasn't.
The same thing with Haley Joel Osment, right?
Right.
Oh.
But then he, what was that show he did where he was really good recently?
He's in a ton of things.
What is the show?
Silicon Valley?
Working like yeah. crazy.
Yeah.
He was in Kidding briefly. He was in are you thinking Kaminsky Method?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he's great on that too. Yeah, he's a good dude. He comes by here. I'll try to line it up so you guys can
I would love to play with him.
Battle. But for now, Sam has 1 point. He's on the board. And Caroline gets to go first on this next one.
Oh, God.
Donald Sutherland or Macaulay Culkin or neither in a movie called The Wrong Ferrari.
I am not even familiar with that movie.
I don't think anybody is or should be familiar with The Wrong Ferrari, but who do you think... You know, if you had to guess, does that sound like something either of those two gentlemen would participate in, or maybe this is a neither?
I mean, if it was Ford versus Ferrari, you know, I've got the cast down, but you know, The Wrong Ferrari. I'm gonna say neither.
I appreciate you making a guess. That I feel terrible that the guess is wrong, but thank you for trying, Claire. Neither's
Macaulay Culkin.
Is it Donald or Mac?
It's Mac.
Incorrect, Sam.
I'm gonna go with Donald Sutherland here. You I just have a hunch.
Correct. I don't know how you do it, but you got that one right. Sam now has 2 points. Maybe this is going to work. Maybe Caroline's going to be a spoiler to help Sam still pass Claire. Caroline, are you ready? I want to get you on the board.
I'm ready.
Let's think
about
it. I'm
ready.
What?
Doug. Doug.
Yeah.
Wrong Ferrari.
Yeah.
Adam Green directed it. Macaulay's in it.
Wait,
Adam
what?
Green?
Wait, you're looking stuff up while we're playing a trivia game?
No, but I knew this movie because I know Adam. So I just pulled it up and he's in it.
And I said Donald Sutherland is in it?
Yeah.
And it's a Mac? I just wrote it down wrong, I guess.
Are both of them in it?
Because
no, it's not a
I don't know, but I am friends with Adam. I love Adam. And I remember when he made this movie.
Well, that's amazing. You caught it. Good job. That's some live fact checking right there.
Wow.
If I didn't know Adam so well,
I wouldn't have known this.
Who got it wrong?
I got it right.
Right. Oh, so you have 4 and Sam has 1. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Sorry, Sam.
Look, this changes the narrative.
I think she's beyond the range of defeat, man.
I think so as well. Don't look up any more stuff because now people are suspicious. That you're
no, I'm not. I'm not looking anything up, but I know that movie. That's why I have my camera on, so I couldn't, you know, type at the same time.
You're cheating. I get it. This one goes to Caroline. And I hope I wrote this down right. Which one of those
two? Well, we will check.
Or neither is in Jack the Hero Dog.
My God.
I know, right?
I'm actually glad I don't know this.
Is this one of those golden retriever movies that talks?
Your brain than that.
That everybody talks?
I'm going to keep sticking with my standard answer. I'm going to play this freaking answer. I'm going to work it into the ground, man.
Okay.
I'm going to auger it into the ground like a passenger biplane. You know? Neither.
That's incorrect, but let me ask you this. Where did somebody, at what point did they get the idea to cast you in 10 Minutes to Midnight as a DJ? Was that something that you wanted to do and you pursued? Because you do have a great DJ voice / personality.
Well, it was kind of a happy accident and a very generous gift, frankly, because Barbara Crampton was first offer. And she couldn't do it. She had to go produce Castle Freak. And so she told the director, Caroline Williams, would be great for this and it would be very meta, you know, since she was in Chainsaw 2 and then this, and it could be, you know, it could be cool. And I'd changed my look a lot and, you know, so that's how that happened.
All right,
weird Hollywood stories actually do happen.
I can't wait to watch it tonight. I'm so excited.
It's huge fun. And I have to say, for a woman my age who is looking for leads, it's not like they're looking for women my age to play leads in movies necessarily. But the role is perfect. It was a perfect fit for me. Barbara was right. It's a perfect fit for me. And the two brothers who wrote it, and Eric and Carson Bloomquist. It's a really incredible script, and it doesn't go the places where horror typically goes. And that's one of the things that was rewarding about it.
It's awesome.
I love it.
That answer is correct. I can't give you any points for it. What do you think, Claire?
What was the name of the movie again?
Jack the Hero Dog.
Okay. I don't know this movie, but I think all I can picture is like those movies where the golden retrievers are like, they make their lips all move, you know, like they're talking but they're real dogs. And I feel like you were talking about old white guys. I feel like old white guys always voice in those movies, like Tom Arnold and Donald Sutherland. So I'm going to go without knowing to Donald Sutherland.
You know, I don't think your reasoning lines up at all with the.
It's a great answer, though.
Still arrived at the correct answer. Yeah, Donald Sutherland is correct.
Jack the Hero Dog.
When did I miss that
the
one?
Hero Dog.
I'm glad that none of us have heard of this movie. I feel like we've all led richer lives for not of.
I know Beethoven for a dog movie. That's like right. Kind of the go-to dog movie, or you know, obviously you know Lassie as a show, but or Where the Red Fern Grows. But that's like the end of my dog movie knowledge.
Old Yeller, Disney animal as human movies. They were always fantastic. An Old Yeller, you laugh, you cry, your life has changed.
Old Yeller, yeah.
That's the thing is these actors, they have a lot of credits, so they have some very unusual titles and movies that people
don't
remember, even though they do have odd titles. Sam, are you ready?
No, but I'm down.
Which one of those dudes or neither was in Billion Dollar Brain?
I mean,
oh my God.
I feel
these
like I'm
so obscure.
I feel like titles. I have a $20 brain. I have no idea. How about Billion Dollar Brain? I'm going to go neither.
That's incorrect.
Of course it is. I don't know why. Has there been a neither yet?
All right, Caroline, neither is taken. So you can't say neither. You have to choose.
I can't say it.
Macaulay Culkin and Donald Sutherland, which one was in Billion Dollar Brain?
That's a Disney movie. You know?
Wait, what'd you say? You cut out for a second.
Ruffling it is we go with Macaulay Culkin.
Sorry, that is incorrect.
Oh! Man. I put makeup on for this, dude.
Me too. I know you can't see my face, but I'm also wearing makeup right now. So I feel humiliated.
You got all pretty for a audio-only podcast. And then have to get every single answer wrong. I mean, it's almost like you should be doing that thing where you could coach somebody and just whatever you suggest, they do the opposite. And then they could, you know, they could win that way.
Dude, I got nothing.
That's my favorite movie.
But you know what? I'm going to go ahead and call this one. I'm going to say that, Claire, you are the winner.
You were an excellent example of the game for me.
Well, it was... I got to say, I'm still excited, Doug. I still love doing your show.
Even though I suck. Oh,
no.
Look, Doug, I respect it. I was getting cocky. You brought in a hired assassin. She took care of business. Nothing bad I can say. Congratulations, Claire.
Oh, Sam, you are so sweet. And I had so much fun. That first game, I've never played that first game. That was really fun. The midnight where you had to figure out the theme. I like that, Doug.
And I had a great answer. My great answer, M by Fritz Lang, 1931, starring Peter Lorre.
So, Claire, can you come back on? We're doing a special midweek. We're taping a show on Thursday.
Yep, I can come back.
Yay!
Woo!
All right, Claire Kramer's going to be back. But in the meantime, Claire, what would you like people to look out for? What are your plugs?
Okay, well, funny enough, after my own personal podcast hiatus, I am launching a new podcast in April with Roddenberry Entertainment, and my co-host is David Magadoff from The Morning Show and HQ Trivia, if anybody ever got obsessed with that. And it's called Fanatics, and we basically bring on guests, and we talk about what they're fanatical about. So, for example, Tony Hale came on and talked about his love of indoor malls. And, you know, Greg Grunberg came on and talked about his love of Ford Bronco trucks. So it's taking, you know, people you know and talking about something totally different than their career. So it's really fun.
Love it. Thank you for being here. We'll talk about it some more on the next episode.
Woohoo!
Sam Morril, the special is still called...
It's up on the roof on YouTube, and we got, which is my pandemic comedy special on random roofs of New York City, Brooklyn, Manhattan, all over.
Wow.
And then we also have I Got This, which is also last year, which is a comedy special. It's on Comedy Central's YouTube channel. Both are free.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think everybody that's listening, since you were champion for 3 weeks, I think that they, you know, they've all checked it out. And
the
work here is done for now. Let me know the next time you have another special. Caroline Williams.
Thank you for having me on, Doug. I am so sorry I suck.
Well, that's, you know, I mean, you're here to promote a vampire film, so that's perfect.
You did not suck. You were perfect.
Yeah.
I think you're awesome.
I didn't get a single freaking point, man.
Where's the best place to, where do you direct people to go to see the film 10 Minutes to Midnight?
Apple TV, iTunes, Amazon, On Demand, Vudu, Hulu. It seems to be everywhere.
Everyone's got it. It's like, I believe the price point is in like the $6 range right now. So no reason not to check it out this
year. Yeah.
And get those numbers up nice and high so we can...
We need algorithms.
For Caroline Williams and, you know, new horror. Horror movies are awesome.
And an incredible ensemble cast. I have to brag on our cast. We were all... I mean, it was great.
It's a spoiler to talk about what happens with the actors in the movie, but it's pretty cool.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. And I will be taking part of Festpocalypse, which is the online version of SF Sketchfest, the annual event that I usually do Doug Loves Movies in person in front of an audience. So it's all going to be done virtually in one big, huge show. That's on January 30th. Go to sfsketchfest.com to try to get tickets to that. And as always, well, I don't know. What are the hours?
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in